in the book of John. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And there's a codicil. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The only way to glory, to salvation, the only way to put your feet on that pathway of faith is to accept the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, very God himself in the body of flesh, and accept the free gift that he offers you tonight. Two groups of people that John mentioned here. Those who had the Son, who were alive, and those who had not the Son, and they were dead. How do I get the Son? Believe what this word just told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. That's what they told the Philippian jailer, wasn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We try to complicate that salvation experience. We try to complicate even the life that we live in Christ Jesus, or attempt to live. A lot of us are attempting to do that. And as the days become more and more evil, and they were evil in Paul's day, I believe that there are a lot fewer trying to walk that path, even those who mean well in the church. I think that a lot of times we get caught up in things and we believe we're doing the work of the Lord. We believe that it's all the right justification, that we have the right motivation, and that we're following instructions given to us straight from God. You know, a lot of times, though, I think that we walk according to our own constructs, according to our own wishes, our own comfort zone. And as our brother shared with us a while ago, I was amazed at what he brought. The fact that we can so easily push away the grace of God in our everyday life. We can push it away so easily. Do we know that I was listening to those songs? And here's an attitude that you might want to get. If you truly desire to walk in those footsteps, if you truly desire to be taking footsteps that are going to lead to wisdom and knowledge concerning God and His Son, if you truly want desire to serve Him in this world and to have victory over this world, the flesh and the devil, in the life that you live, there are some words that I heard a while ago in a song, a couple of songs there, come to mind. And one of the lists was, "Nothing I desire compares with Thee." Nothing I desire. Do you get the impact of that? Nothing I desire. And we sang a little song about a deer panting for the water. And he says, "Nothing I desire compares with you. Nothing that this world has to offer compares with what you have already offered me, what you indeed have already given to me as your born-again child, as your saved child who is alive because he has accepted the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, on Calvary's tree. So now today I walk as one who is walking toward victory." I have discussed with several of you at different times the fact that how many parallels I see between God's kingdom, the way that God deals with his people, and the United States Marine Corps. Because he was a very military-minded God, is a very military-minded God. If you just think about it, discipline, faithfulness, reliability, all of those things, and more and more and more, are the requirements if you're going to serve Him. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And that mind was a humble mind. It was the mind of a servant. It was the mind of one willing to die for those that he loved. That's what he came to do, was to die for the ones that he loved. And you know what the sad part is? Paul's already told us over in 1 Corinthians that we have that mind. We have the mind of Christ. But he has to remind us as his people. That ought to tell you we're kind of fallible, doesn't it, Dennis? were kind of fallible, because he had to remind them that they needed to let that mind which was in Christ Jesus also be in them. So that's where we might start. We might start with that concept. Come to that point in your life where you're more hungry for Christ than you are for anything that this world has to offer us. But you know, we're not that way. We're not made that way. Naturally, we have a sin nature in there. And that sin nature is always at odds with the Holy Spirit of God that's come to indwell us. Ephesians 1, the moment you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And He is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Remember that. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit Himself. Many experiences in my own life that should have shown me that I needed to rely on Him. I needed to hand it to Him and say, you know, I'm a terrible drunkard. I stumble around a whole lot. I run into telephone poles and all kinds of things. And I just need you to take this burden away from me, Lord. And, of course, we always want to pray things that we want. You ever figure that out in your life? Usually when we approach God, what are we approaching Him about? We're approaching Him about the things that we want done, the things that we need done. We want them fixed. And He wants us to bring those too. How many times do you stop and give Him thanks after He answers your prayers? You know, He works in His own time. We expect Him to work in our time, and we want to humanize Him. I know He's in a body of flesh, folks, and He walked among us as a man, theanthropic man, very God, very man. He walked among us in a body of flesh, but He is very God. And He thinks differently than we do, and He does things in His own time. You believe that? That God would take liberties to do things in His own time. That He would take His own time and make things happen in your life and bless things that are going on in your life at the right time. Not the time you want it, not the time you think you need it or what you think you need, but what He has already prepared for you before the foundations of the world. He sat down for each one of us and made a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. How much of that plan and purpose do you think we walk out in reality? Paul, positionally, we're sinless. We're lily white. We're sitting in the heavens with Him right now. Positionally, that's where God the Father sees the believer. Practically, where are you in your life today? Are you still relying on yourself? Are you still relying on what the world can do for you? What the world can give you? Well, look about what's going on in the world today. What's politically correct in the world, and how much is that benefiting your spiritual walk? How much does what goes on out there benefit your spiritual walk? There needs to be a deep desire among God's people to walk out that position that they have in His Son. There needs to be a deep hunger for what God has already created for you so that you can live out the life and the plan that He has for you, not the one that you dream up. And I'm going to tell you what, I know because I dreamed up a whole lot of them down through my life. I've had years in ministry where I thought I was doing exactly what the Lord wanted me to do. I was doing exactly what facilitated what Bill Hudson wanted to do or how Bill Hudson saw the matter. Not how Holy Spirit saw the matter. I wasn't listening much to Holy Spirit. I was listening pretty much telling Holy Spirit what it was that I did need so that I could make those changes and so that I could walk out that salvation that He had, that free gift. You know, that's the only question He's going to ask you at the Bema. What did you do with the free gift? What did you do with it? Did you have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil through the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, walking out that salvation? Or did you utterly fail? Did you trash it? You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, there are going to be those that, because he lives, they're going to live with him. But there are going to be those, you see, who have suffered with him, and they are going to reign with him. And that's the difference in how you walk out that life that Christ has created for you. You know, you have accessibility to it. We wander around in our own thoughts and in our own impulse and how we understand the world. What the news media is telling us. I have people come before me in church and say, hey, you know what? I watched a good thing on the History Channel the other day about Jesus Christ. If you watched it on the History Channel about Jesus Christ, you better start watching something else. Because I have never seen a program. I will tune into one because it sounds, it just sounds, wow, you know, I'd like to see what they're going to say about that. They never say the right thing, folks. That's not where you want to get your information. Here's a good place to get that information from. That, and you see this assembly here, around us here, all this cloud of witnesses that we're surrounded by here. That's a good place to get a lot of the things that you need to learn about being a member of the body of Christ. There are a lot of witnesses in this place that have been so instrumental in my life across the years, starting out as a young youth minister in this place and going up and up and up in different ways. Never up and up as far as my own estimation, I guess, of myself at times, but always, always supported, always, always nurtured. That's why Titus 2 is so important, and the church has thrown it out. We've just about destroyed what's in Titus 2 because look at that world out there again. What is Titus 2 all about? Anybody know? The older women training up the younger women. How to be mothers. How to be wives. And the older men training up the younger men. Guys, some of us that have been doing this a while, face it, we are the older men now. Let's take over the reins from James Roberts and from Charles Wages and from R.B. Shiflett and all those that have gone before us. Let's take over the reins. Dawned on us here a few years ago that now we are the older generation in the church. And it's time for us to take a stand for the Lord, a solid stand for the Lord. What's important to you? What is important to you in your leisure time? What is important to you in your everyday life? How much time do you waste and make excuses for the fact that I don't have time to do that or I would? I know I waste a lot. You know, I say, well, you know, there's not enough time today for me to get started on that Bible study. You know, I'll put that off until later on. Hey, there's a good TV show on. You know, I think that's the downfall of the church today. That's why a lot of us don't get out there and walk the walk. We get tired too soon because, you know what, at 7 o'clock, I've got NCIS on. You see, I've got that coming up. I have to take time to watch NCIS. And so I don't take that time maybe that I should have taken to study the Word. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. The same thing that Paul told you to do. Arm yourself with that mind. And we are in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is for your life, Christian? Take some time. If you see some kids that don't have groceries or don't have shoes, take care of that need. And you know what God will lead you into? When He sees you're willing, when you finally show Him that you're willing to follow Him, He'll give you more to do. Don't judge it on what you think. Not what's right to a man. Not what's politically correct. How many Christians in the world today do you think buy into what's politically correct out there in the world? Most of them. I always find it amazing that as God's people, we've never moved far away from the world. 2,000 years now since Christ walked this earth, and we still are following the world. We're still looking to the world for our worth. We're still looking to the world for the way to live life, for the way that we should judge things in the world or have discernment about. We look to the world. What's politically correct? Parents are afraid to spank their children. But you know what? My Heavenly Father says that if He loves you, He chastises you betimes. He does that and it's good for you. You know, if you punish the child, you're going to save their life. Well, I won't even go into some of the latest things that are going on in Congress, some of the latest things that are going on in different states, what is becoming legal, how that law enforcement in a lot of ways is not getting support they need and they're not really doing the job. And you could go on and on and on with the ills of this world, but let's not dwell on the negative. Look at all the positive that is in your life as a believer. Is there any positive in anybody's life out there? Are you having anything positive happen? I know you had to drive in that terrible traffic today to get over here. And you know what? There were just all kind of, I told Sharon, one time I lost my temper because we got caught in traffic over in Weatherford, Texas. This used to be a farming community. And you didn't see cars on the interstate, you know, very much. Well, we got caught in a traffic jam, and we're in that thing for 30 minutes today. And I finally said, if the state would do something about this, you see, he's out there. The enemy's out there, and he is there to spoil you. He's there to take away your joy. He's there to tell you all the lies you want to hear. And he'll give you ways to escape your position and your duty as a Christian person. You don't have a duty? What does that say in it? Let me see what it says here. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, that's, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I remember that one too. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What is it? It's a gift of God, isn't it? And then what does he say? For we are created to walk in good works, haven't we been? There's that walk. That's what he created you for. That's what the new man is about. That's what the new man should be about. Walking out what God has already provided for us. You don't have to create it. You don't have to come up with it. It does not take, like they say, it's not rocket science. For one reason, I think God was very simple in his word. God repeats things a whole lot because he knows our attention span is very small. And it seems like when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that attention span even gets smaller. And we walk out that church house door right there, and whatever that thing is they build into church house doors, it wipes your mind clean of everything that's taking place while you were in that building. And you come to me next Sunday and say, oh, was that this week? That was this week. Now is the time. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go to some seminary or Bible college to grow up in the Lord. All of us have a ministry. Every one of us has a ministry that we're supposed to be performing for him. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Unto prayer. One of the greatest weapons that we have is prayer. But you know what? Covers it all. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. In all things. That's your walk. That's what your walk is. The way you live your life on this earth now as a believer in Christ Jesus is your life. And it's amazing to me that we can believe that he died on a Roman cross and we can take his free gift of salvation. But we do not believe, as my brother Dennis has said, that he can take care of us. He's got it. What you have to do is give up, folks. You're not going to get enough education. You're not going to get enough position at work. You're not going to get enough money. And a whole bunch of you out there ain't going to be that good looking. So what's important then? Is that what we need to do? We need to listen to what he has to say for us. We need to sacrifice ourselves in that walk for him. Be willing to lay down our lives for him, because that's what he was willing to do. With that mind which was in Christ Jesus, agapeo, he loved us so much he was willing to die for us. Every last one of us. And if Mark had been the last man on earth and needed salvation, he would have died for him. And that's amazing to me. He died for the sins of the whole world, but he died for me in particular. Do I not owe him a reasonable service? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, sanctified, set apart for his use. Not for your abuse, not for the abuse of the world out there. That's not what you've been set aside for. You're set aside to suffer for his sake. You're set aside to suffer for his gospel. You're set aside to suffer for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you are set aside to be an example for them. If you're walking the right path and you're walking it with the right motivation in the right place and you're relying on the Holy Spirit of God to create the things in your life that are supposed to be there, those things which are going to facilitate you. Which is your reasonable service? Well, Lance, I can't figure that out. Why would I have any service like that? Can you think of any reason why that might be your reasonable service? I just get a picture of Calvary and my Lord hanging on that tree, bleeding, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was willing to be forsaken and put to death for you and for I. But we're not willing to do the least thing that's going to facilitate our spiritual growth, that we might get out there and have the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's already given us victory over sin and death. Now, he wants us to overcome that world. And how do you do that? Greater is he. I'm not hearing it. Than he that's in the world. Amen. So that reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that word prove means to walk out. We're to walk out that salvation that we have. A lot of times I think we want to just hang on to what we've got. And we walk through that door that says, salvation free today, salvation free. And we sit down on that pew that's right inside the gate there. And that's as far as we get. We never go any further. We never allow the Lord to completely control us or to completely have us. We've all got those little strongholds in there, don't we? We all have that. And the Word of God's pretty plain on that. The dog will return to his vomit. We will go right back into the same old bad habits, same old bad places, same old bad friends, the things that have not worked before. But hey, it's going to work this time. I'm just sure it's going to work this time because I'm willing it to do that. Mark and I were talking over at Mineral Wells the other day when he was over there. And he was talking about a man, of somebody praying and the language that they use. And I think that's funny. We claim that we put our faith in him. We claim that we put our trust in him to take care of us in that. I had a man tell me one time, he said, you know what, let's just pray about that. And if we're lucky, God will answer our prayer. And that's about how we think about it sometimes. It's a lottery. It's a lottery. And God might answer that prayer. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another within the family of God first, and then those who are without. You see, that's the priority. But it has to start in your home. And it has to start with you. Because if you're not right with God, if you have not been reformed, if you have not allowed Him to reform you and to give you that restoration that you need to serve Him, all those things that you need inside you, all the priorities that you need inside of you, you're not going to be able to do that with your spouse. You're not ready to be married to somebody until you have yourself lined out. I'm here to testify, if this lady does not put me out the front door by the March the 20th. I was going to say that. If she doesn't put me out by March 23rd, we'll have 38 years together. And I'll tell you what, neither one of us was ready when we got married. We were young people. I was fresh out of the Marine Corps, still on chemotherapy, and she was a young nurse working at the hospital in Mineral Wells. And neither one of us was ready for what was to come. And so we've had to go through it all backwards, young people. Start out right. You don't have to go back and pick up what you left back there because you can't. You can't. You have to start where you are. And that means you need to take care of your spiritual relationship with Him. And then as a couple, you need to take care of that spiritual relationship. As a family, you need to take care of that spirit. Where am I going to learn how to do all that stuff? It's written in the book. I happen to have the instruction book right here. And the Apostle Paul and old John and Peter and James, all of them wrote wonderful things about how we can do that. I was amazed. I've always liked to look at the 119th Psalm. If you want some good things to walk by, and since we're in a dispensational church here, we won't belabor maybe where some of these things are supposed to be. But if you have, if one, 23 times it talks about His law, about His law. What, and I think about it in terms of what's the law of Christ? What is the law of Christ Jesus that we fulfill when we love our neighbor as ourselves? That's what it is. The law of love. That's what it's all about. Commandments, 22 times. Testimonies, 22 times. Ways, 14 times. Precepts, 21 times. Judgments, 23 times. His judgments about what's right and wrong, not your judgments about what's right and wrong. Statutes, 21 times. And the Word, 37 times. Rely on those things. Because in every one of those sections of that, if you didn't know, the 119th Psalm is how Jewish children learn their alphabet. Because the poor little guys had to memorize all of those verses in the 119th Psalm, and I think there are 176 of them. So I would have been a poor student in those days. But those are some of the things that you might look into if you really truly have a desire to serve Him and to get it right. Then you might lean on what He believes to be right. Not all of it's in here. All of it is in here, but we get a lot of that from those who are around us here. And I'm going to wrap y'all up here because I know that it's a long drive back to wherever you came from. If you didn't come across the street, it's a long drive. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you notice that? He just gave us a synopsis. In a nutshell, he told us what our ministry was supposed to be. Now you've got the basics about what the ministry is that Christ has for you. So you can start right there. It's a good place to start. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. Why should it surprise you? What did he tell us? What did he tell the disciples? The world hates me. They persecute me. And because you belong to me, because you serve me, they're going to hate you and they're going to persecute you. And I'm going to tell you something else. The enemy is going to dog you like a bloodhound. Because every place you let the Lord lead you into, every place that you let the Lord give you more understanding, every place that he puts you in a ministry, guess who's there? And he's there to try to rob you of that joy and of that victory. So it's only by leaning to his understanding and not my own understanding that that's going to happen. It is sad for me to see today in the church, the body of Christ, how many of the members in this body have bought in to some of the, I won't say that, to some of the things that are politically correct today. Christian people actually swallowing the things that the world is putting forth as true. And that breaks my heart. And it also says that in ways, we're not letting Christ work in us. We're not performing that Christ has for us. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, my land, happy are you. Happy are you if you're reproached for the name of the Lord. Paul said, I glory in tribulation. Bring it on, world. Bring it on, devil. Bring on that persecution. Bring on those trials and tribulations. Because that's what's going to make me strong. Because then I have to rely on him to get me through it. And that's when I'm at my strongest. When I finally come to it in my human little tiny mind that I try to make the mind of Christ sometimes. When I finally come to that place where I understand that. That only when I allow you to take over am I strong. Because you're the strength. Just like you are the righteousness in this body. You are the sanctification of this body. You are the one that's given me eternal life. And you are the one who has to do the work. But you have to be willing to let him do the work. And the most important thing that we need to always remember about doing the work of the Lord is this. Because I told you already, that's the fulfilling of the law of Christ, isn't it? That we love our neighbors as ourselves. So it's love. That's what caused him to create the universe. And before he created it, that's what caused him, knowing you all that time ago. And of course, he doesn't live in time. Doesn't make any difference to him. Time doesn't. Knowing you intimately, personally, even as it's been brought to the number of the hairs on your head, and some of us have more than others. That shows, why did he do that? You ever ask yourself that question? The Word answers it in many places. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Talking about our relationship with the brethren. I learned many years ago that not everybody's on board with the way I see the writings of the Apostle Paul. And John, I believe, also says at one time, greet one another with a holy kiss. Be warmly affectioned one toward another. But, you know, we keep weeding things out because they don't fit the politically correct in the world. When you meet your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ, be happy to see them. Let them know you're happy to see them and that you love them, that you love them. Because that's the mind of Christ. And that's what motivates our God is love, his love. And that's the love we want to share one with another as we go about working out and walking out this salvation, this free salvation that he has given us. And I'm kind of like that walking out that plan and purpose, like I am by that every year about for a while. I decided that I'm going to run for an hour. And that, you do that a lot with your spiritual life, too, that spiritual experience. I'm going to do this. I'm going to let the Lord take it over. And then, wait a second, Lord, that's not what I think we need to do with that. We need to move that over here, and let's place that over here, and we'll start it this way. And that's how we are. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If we are truly born of God and are living for Him, we overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's what overcomes the world. Our faith in His ability to do it. We accept that He was able to die for us and save us. So we accept that He's able to give us the information we need. He's able to lead us into those things that He desires for us to be involved in. Even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. My challenge to you this evening, walk out that salvation. Wonderful theme this year. When Greg brought that theme up, I thought, and that's great. You know, I don't think that I envisioned it like some of my brothers did. Different vein there, but I think that it was a wonderful theme to have, Greg. Thank you so much for being willing to do that. And we thank you so much for bearing with me. Let's look to the Lord. Father God, we love you. And Father, we do. We're your children, Father, and you know that better than we do. And we know that you do want what's best for us. And you have only the best for your children, Father. You don't have second best. We don't get used clothes, Father. We get the best. We get the best of all things. And yet, Father, we still fail to listen to you. We still fail to walk in a way, Father, that's going to glorify your name. Because that's all what it's all about. So that the Lord Jesus Christ will have the preeminence. So that this salvation, Father, that we're walking out will be fruitful. And Father, we know that fruit's produced by your Holy Spirit. It's not produced by us. We talk about it like it is, but it's not. If there's fruit being produced in your life, that means you're walking that walk. You're fighting that warfare, and that you're allowing Holy Spirit to accomplish all of that in your life and give you the victory. Father, just watch over this group of dear family, Father, that's gathered here tonight. We love them, Father, and sometimes we're lost at a loss for words as to the wonderful gift that you've given us in our brothers and sisters in Christ. For the wonderful opportunities, Father, to learn and grow. And Father, we just wish that when we were younger, we'd have listened and learned and watched and learned a lot more than we did. But Father, right now, we're thankful for age. We're thankful, Father, that with age, we mellow out. And Father, with age, we become a little bit more sane about decisions that we make. And Father, we just thank you that we do today desire you more than we desire anything else in this world. Father, keep us there in that place. Keep us willing, Father, to do whatever it takes to do your will in our life, even when others are saying that it's not true, even when others today, Father, even in church places, Father, are saying that there are things about your word that are not true. Father, we just want to be true. We want to walk for the way, the truth, and the life, and Father, to have that mind which is in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just want to give you praise for this Bible conference this week and for each person that is filling this pulpit, Father, that your will would be accomplished and your word would go forth and accomplish that you would have it too, Father, in their lives. We just want to give you praise again, Father, and thank you so much for the privilege of being among this assemblage, for the privilege, Father, of being your servant, the privilege, Father, of being your child, and, Father, for the privilege of your free salvation. We just want to give you thanks in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.